भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम् कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 20 टेक्स्ट 17 ट्रांसलेशन. The human body, which can award all benefit in life, is automatically obtained by the laws of nature, although it is a very rare achievement. This human body can be compared to a perfectly constructed boat, having the spiritual master as the captain and the instructions of the personality of Godhead as favorable winds, impelling it on its course. Considering all these advantages, a human being who does not utilize his human life to cross the ocean of material existence must be considered the killer of his own soul. Purport. The human body, which is obtained after passing through many inferior forms, is created in such a way that it can award the highest perfection of life. A human being is supposed to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the bona fide spiritual master is the appropriate guide for such service. The causeless mercy of Lord Krishna is compared to favorable winds that help the boat of the body to ply smoothly on the course back home, back to Godhead. Lord Krishna gives his personal instructions in Vedic literature, speaks through the bona fide spiritual master, and encourages, warns, and protects his sincere devotee from within the devotee's heart. Such merciful guidance of the Lord moves a sincere soul quickly on the path back to Godhead, but one who cannot understand that the human body is a suitable boat for crossing the ocean of material existence will see no need to accept a captain in the form of the spiritual master and will not at all appreciate the favorable winds of the Lord's mercy. He has no chance of achieving the goal of human life. Acting against his own self-interest, he gradually becomes the killer of his own soul. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. This verse parallels the verse that I spoke on a few days ago. The same word is used, sudurlabha. The human life is rarely achieved, very rarely achieved. Every preacher, especially the preachers of Krishna consciousness, should learn this verse. Labdhva sudurlabha midam bahu sambhavanti. Begins with this line.
Krishna bhakti prachara madakudi ovvarutrum inda slogate arindu kolla vendiya avasyam. Labdhva sudurlabha midam bahu sambhavanti engra slogate.
At least preaching among Hindus, it's a line which can and should be used in every discourse with people who are not serious about spiritual life, which means almost everybody. And the verse we're reading today is from the same section of Bhagavad Gita. Sorry, Srimad Bhagavatam. It's from the Uddhava Gita, Lord Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, described in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a slight difference in the import of the verse to the Labdhva Sudurlabham verse. Inasmuch as it, this verse which we're reading today addresses the situation of one who has taken up the spirit of the Labdhva Sudurlabham verse. He's taken to spiritual life. Or at least has come very close to doing so. He's come in contact with the Shastra, with bona fide spiritual master. But still fails to cross the ocean of material existence. This is the ocean of material existence, Bhava Saga. It is a standard analogy. It's so standard that it's so often quoted that Bhava Saga, or the ocean of material existence, it's more or less taken that there is an ocean. It's become an ocean by usage. It's actually come to be considered an ocean. It is an ocean. The ocean is vast and difficult to cross. It's all right, the fly flew off elsewhere. It's not an ordinary achievement to cross an ocean. So in the same way, material existence is vast, fathomless, and difficult to escape from. There is a place to go to on the other side. But it requires, there are certain conditions required to cross that ocean of material existence. Elsewhere in Bhagavatam, the example is given of trying to cross the ocean by holding onto the tail of a dog. If you see a dog jumps in the edge of the sea and you think, I will have my opportunity to cross the sea, I'll hold the tail of the dog and I will cross over the ocean like this. It's rank foolishness. Another example, this is all in this Uddhava Gita. Another example, no, that's in the 10th canto, isn't it? Of the example is given of entering a boat for crossing the ocean. You realize you need a boat to cross. So what's a good material for making boats with? Traditionally it would mostly be wood, right? For a small light boat, maybe cane.
ரொம்ப சின்னதா ஒரு சில இருக்கக்கூடிய வலுவற்ற பாடல்களுக்கு கேன் உபயோகப்படுத்தலாம்,
உபயோகப்படுத்தலாம். Nowadays, metal, fiberglass, these are various materials. How about stone? Would that make a good material for making a boat? There's lots of stone around here, granite. We make a boat out of the stone and go on the lake with it. The Bhagavatam says that trying to cross the taking shelter of a cheetah is like bogus so-called guru is like entering a boat of stone and trying to cross the ocean.
பாகவதம் என்ன சொல்றது அப்படின்னா, ஒரு போலி குருவை, ஏமாற்றக்கூடிய ஒரு குருவை நம்ம ஏற்றுக்கொண்டு இந்த சம்சார கடலை கடக்கிறது முயற்சி பண்றது அப்படிங்கிறது கல்லுல செஞ்ச படகை வச்சு கடலை கடக்க முயற்சி செய்யறது மாதிரி.
So this human form of life is compared to a boat which is suitable for crossing the ocean.
இந்த மனித உடலானது இந்த கடலை கடந்து செல்வதற்கு உகந்த ஒரு படகாக கருதப்படுகிறது.
If we go to here, this Arakkod lake, and take one little boat, which is used for paddling around on the lake, and think, I will take this to Chennai, and I will cross the ocean and go around Singapore and go to Los Angeles in that boat. Is it possible?
அந்த படகை உபயோகப்படுத்தி நான் கடலை கடந்து சிங்கப்பூர் வழியா லாஸ் ஏஞ்சல்ஸ் போவேன் அப்படின்னு நினைச்சேன்னா
அது சாத்தியமாகலாம். Boat is required for crossing the ocean.
கடலை கடந்து செல்லணும் அப்படின்னா அதற்கு தகுந்த படகு அவசியம்.
The suitable boat for crossing the ocean of material existence is the human form.
பௌதிக வாழ்க்கை அப்படிங்கிற கடலை கடந்து செல்வதற்கு தகுந்த படகு இந்த மனித உடல் தான்.
Of course, the boat may be suitable, but one also has to have other conditions.
படகு உகந்ததாக இருந்த பட்சத்திலே பொறுத்தருக்கு மற்ற சூழ்நிலைகளும் பொருத்தமானதாக அமைவது அவசியம்.
Just like the Titanic boat was said to be unsinkable.
டைட்டானிக் படகு வந்து மூழ்க இயலாத படகு அப்படின்னு சொல்லி சொல்லப்பட்டது.
As is well known, it sank on its first voyage.
ஆனா அது எப்போ முதல் முறையா அனுப்பப்பட்டதோ அப்பயே அது மூழ்கி இருக்குது அப்படிங்கறது எல்லாரும் அறிந்ததே.
Which was at the time it was a great blow for persons or who were touting the glories of modern technological progress.
நவீன தொழில்நுட்பம் எந்த அளவுக்கு வளர்ந்துருக்கு அப்படிங்கறத ரொம்ப
By declaring the Titanic to be unsinkable, they were in effect saying that at least in this sphere we have conquered nature. We've defied nature. Nature cannot touch us. The forces of nature.
டைட்டானிக் கப்பல் மூழ்க முடியாது அப்படிங்கறத அவங்க அறிவித்த போது அவங்க பிரகடனப்படுத்தினது என்ன அப்படின்னா, இந்த டைட்டானிக் கப்பலை மூலமா இயற்கையை எங்களுடைய கட்டுப்பாட்டை கொண்டு வந்துட்டோம், இயற்கை எங்களுடைய கட்டுப்பாட்டை இயற்கையினுடைய கட்டுப்பாட்டை நாங்க கிடையாதுன்னு சொல்லி அறிவித்தார்கள்.
So probably theists at that time were sniggering at the sinking of the Titanic. Sniggering means laughing in a way that you don't really want people to see you laughing, like somewhat privately laughing. They don't want to come out and say, great, they all died. Like in the modern age when this AIDS first came and they were saying, oh, it's going to be a terrible epidemic, and certain Christians were saying, good, let all the sinful people get their just punishment from God. So the Titanic might not have sunk. Most ships don't sink, they go through, I don't know, 20, 30 years of service and then they're scrapped or sold off to, you know, sold from an American company to a Philippine company or something like that. And then it's, after some time, scrapped. So the Titanic, I presume you all know about the Titanic, because this film came out recently, the posters were there in India also. So it became well known, also in India. There was a blockbuster movie about it, about, what, 10 years ago, something like that. 12 years ago. Mr. Facts and Figures. Yeah, okay. But one thing they didn't factor into the consideration while they were calling Titanic unsinkable is human intelligence or the lack of it, which is called human stupidity.
In the Titanic couple Mulgade, a prince of a Pragana Patrapa, Urisha Dana, Arthur Kola Matatana, Enna Vina, Manidanulia, Buddhistalitanam, Kundri, other Manidaril Manidarilta Mukalta, Mirka, Bingala Maratam.
It was indeed human stupidity to even declare it unsinkable in the first place. But generally, if a ship is in the hands of a capable captain, it's generally ships don't sink anyway. If they're well built and they're in the hands of a capable captain and a capable crew. So the Titanic struck an iceberg and sunk. So the captain should have considered that, well, we're in the vicinity of icebergs, so we should be careful. We better get out of this area altogether. But maybe because he was thinking that it's unsinkable, that even if we hit an iceberg, it won't sink. So then they hit the iceberg. And it started to sink. The people might have been screaming and saying, the ship's sinking. The captain was saying, no, it can't be sinking. It's the Titanic. It's unsinkable. But it's sinking. But it can't be sinking. Blip, 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 blip,
blip.
Herr Einstein is reported to have said that two things are unlimited, the universe and human stupidity, and I'm not sure of the first. Not sure of the first, that means he's sure of the second.
Einstein sonada sollapadudhu enna appadina rendu vishayangal ellaiyattadaga avar nenikkirar onnu indha prapancham innonnu manidharulude muttalthanam adula
Prabhanjam Anyway, the purport of this lengthy digression, which becomes twice as long when it's translated, is that even though we have a good opportunity to go back to Godhead, we have to have a good captain of the ship. We have to have a good guru.
இந்த ஸ்லோகத்தினுடைய பொருள் என்ன அப்படின்னா, ஒருத்தர்கிட்ட கடலை கடந்து செல்வதற்கு நல்ல படகு இருந்தா கூட அவங்களுக்கு ஒரு நல்ல மாலுமியும் அவசியப்படுறார். ஏன்னா அத்தகைய மாலுமிதான் குரு.
And we also have to follow his instructions.
நாம அந்த குருவினுடைய உபதேசங்களையும் பின்பற்ற வேண்டியது அவசியம்.
In the 64 angas or aspects of devotional service given by Rupa Goswami, the first four are Guru Pada Shoyastasmat Krishna Diksha Nushikshanam Vishrambhena Guru Seva. That means to take shelter of the lotus feet of a guru, to take initiation from him, to take instruction from him, and to serve him with affection. So it's not that simply by getting the human form of life, or even by just deciding to take to spiritual life, that one can progress on the path back to Godhead. And as indicated in the verse that we're reading today, it's also not enough to take shelter of a spiritual master or even to take initiation from him. You find people coming asking for shelter and then they take diksha. There's another 62 aspects of devotional service to be considered. But of which the next one, the third, is shiksha. It's actually Krishna diksha anusha, it's anushiksha. Which suggests that the prefix anu suggests that even if one is not directly instructed by, not even if not face to face instructed by the spiritual master, one may also be instructed by his representatives.
Anu shiksha abdingra anu abdingra vaarthai edha chutti kaaduthu appadina orthar தன்னுடைய ஆன்மீக குருவினால நேரடியாக உபதேசிக்கப்படாத பட்சத்திலையும் அவர் உபதேசங்களை அந்த ஆன்மீக குருவின் பிரதிநிதிகளிடமிருந்து பெறலாம் அப்படிங்கறத காட்டுது.
So there are many rules and regulations to follow.
நிறைய கட்டுப்பாட்டு விதிமுறைகள் பின்பற்ற வேண்டி இருக்கின்றன.
மயானுகூலேன நபஸ்வதரிதம், the instructions, Lord Krishna says, given by me in Shastra, are like the favorable winds for blowing the ship on the course back to Godhead.
இங்க கிருஷ்ணர் என்ன சொல்றார் அப்படினா, என்னால வழங்கப்படக்கூடிய கருணையானது அந்த படகை நம்ம செல்ல வேண்டிய இடத்துக்கு கொண்டு செல்றதுக்கு தகுந்த காற்று.
So we have to learn what those are and apply them practically in our lives.
அந்த விதிமுறைகள் என்ன அப்படிங்கறத நம்ம தெரிந்து கொண்டு அதை நம்மளுடைய நடைமுறை வாழ்க்கையில செயல்படுத்தவும் வேண்டும்.
Therefore, we should all read the nectar of devotion and learn what those rules are.
அதனாலதான் நம்ம பக்தி ரசாமிருத சிந்துவை படித்து அதுல இந்த விதிமுறைகள் எல்லாம் என்ன அப்படிங்கறத தெரிந்து கொள்ள வேண்டும்.
And follow them.
தெரிஞ்சு கொண்டா மட்டும் பார்த்தாலும் அதை பின்பற்றவும் செய்யணும்.
in the Nectar of Devotion, it's also described some aspects of the perfectional stage of devotional service, Prayojana Tattva. That is prema bhakti, that is the ultimate goal of life, to attain pure devotional service in pure love of Krishna. The parents of these children, please take them out and you can sit outside, let the children play outside, please. It's not surprising if children can't sit and listen to all of this, but it's better they do so outside. Nothing wrong if they play, but just take them outside and let them do that. So the before prema bhakti, there are the stages of sadhana bhakti and bhava bhakti. These are all described in the Nectar of Devotion. So it is a ridiculous proposition to think that we can just automatically go from the stage of a conditioned soul to one who is full in love of Krishna. Sometimes we see, it's actually more common in North India, that there are arrangements for people to hear the Bhagavad Katha. And the speaker speaks on all the different leelas of Krishna, maybe some of the other avatars also. Usually with some musical accompaniment. And a good deal of flamboyancy. Flamboyancy in this context means going like this, dramatics. Sometimes speaking very slowly and quietly and then boom, shouting loudly and for effect, we can say. This is still very, well, not very, but yeah, you get good crowds. Good performer pulls book big crowds, even today. But it is absurd to think that people whose their day-to-day lives are passed in calm, crowed, lobe, thinking where to get money, family affairs, and then they just come in and they switch all that off and then they switch on to prema bhakti. And then they go back home and switch on the TV and, you know, take their tea, or I guess in South India more likely to be coffee, and life goes on as usual. Now, this is all ridiculous. Therefore, intelligent people, they reject religion, because the whole religion is either fanaticism or sentimentalism, and intelligence seems to Just like at the Osho Ashram in Pune, it says, shoes and mind should be left at the door. Actually, there's no need to state that because anyone who had any intelligence would never go anywhere near that place anyway. But yeah, therefore people who are intelligent, they look at all this and they think this is ridiculous. They're right. Srila Prabhupada always wanted to present Krishna consciousness in an intelligent manner, as Krishna did to Arjuna. Yeah, the human stupidity is unlimited, said Einstein, although man is supposed to be a rational animal. That's what we're told, that man is a rational animal. But we generally see that people are not very rational, they're irrational, which means that they're just animals, that's all. If you say that man is a rational animal, but this is a man and he's not rational, then you leave out the adjective rational, then he's just an animal. Most people act on the basis of their emotions. Which are again based on desires for sense gratification. This is the Vedic analysis. A few days ago I was speaking about Vedic psychology. I thought a little bit more about that. That Western Vedic psychology is based on understanding with the mind, with the idea of delivering it from material entanglement. Transcending material contamination. Which begins with karma, karma, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. Desire, mundane desire is the basic condition of the contaminated mind. So Vedic psychology recognizes this as a contamination. Which covers the pure consciousness, the pure function of the consciousness, which is the characteristic of the soul, which is ultimately to love Krishna.
இந்த காமமானது ஒருத்தருடைய உண்மையா ஒரு ஆத்மாவினுடைய உண்மையான நிலைய, அதாவது கிருஷ்ணர் மேல அன்பு செலுத்துறது அப்படிங்கிற தூய்மையான நிலையை மூடி வைத்துள்ளது.
But in modern psychology, the idea is to adjust the mind so that one can feel satisfied in the atmosphere of material desire.
ஆனா நவீன மனோதத்துவத்தை என்ன சொல்றாங்க அப்படின்னா, மனதை வந்து அப்படியே அனுசரிச்சு போய் இந்த பௌதிக ஆசைகளின் மூலமாகவே ஒருத்தர் மனதை திருப்தியோட வச்சுக்கிறது அப்படிங்கிற மாதிரி தான் அவங்க.
Because it's not based on Shastra, it's apratishta, asatyam apratishtam. They don't have any basis in truth or reality. But kim anyat kama haitukam, what else is there but desire to fulfill our desire? There's nothing left in, that's the only thing that there is.
அங்க வந்து ஆசைதான், ஆசையைதான் அவங்க நிறைவேற்றி ஆகணும், ஆசைதான் அங்க இருக்கு, அந்த ஆசையை நிறைவேற்றதுக்கு அவங்க ஆசைப்படுறாங்க அவ்வளவுதான்.
But they recognize such characteristics as krodha, anger, lobha, greed, matsarya, envy as unhealthy, psychologically unhealthy and harmful for the individual and for other members of society.
அந்த மனோவியல் வல்லுநர்கள் அதே சமயத்தில் அவங்க என்ன சொல்றாங்க அப்படின்னா, கோபம், பேராசை, பொறாமை போன்ற தன்மைகள் ஒரு தனி மனிதனுக்கு உகந்தவை கிடையாது, சமுதாயத்துக்கும் உகந்தவை கிடையாதுன்னு சொல்றாங்க.
So they try to keep the karma and adjust it in such a way so there's no excess krodh, lobha, they have no idea about moha, they're so completely in moha. And envy, all these things should be diminished.
அவங்க காமத்தை அப்படியே வச்சுக்கிறாங்க, ஆனா அதிக அளவில் வரக்கூடிய கோபம், பொறாமை, பேராசை இதெல்லாம் நல்லதெல்லாம் அப்படின்னு சொல்லிட்டு அதை அழிக்கிறது பாக்குறாங்க. மோகத்தை பத்தி அவங்களுக்கு எந்த ஒரு கருத்துமே கிடையாது, ஏன்னா அவங்க முழுக்க முழுக்க மோகத்தை வாங்கி இருக்கிறாங்க.
But they don't know because they don't have any actual knowledge. They don't know that as long as there is material desire, there must be also material anger, greed, envy and all other undesirable qualities.
ஆனா அவங்களுக்கு ஒண்ணு என்ன தெரியல அப்படின்னா, பௌதிக ஆசைகள் இருக்கிற வரைக்கும் அதன் அடிப்படையில பௌதிக கோபம், பேராசை, பொறாமை போன்ற விரும்பத்தகாத விஷயங்களும் பின்தொடர்ந்து வரும் அப்படிங்கறது அவங்களுக்கு தெரியும்.
And even the Mayavadis, they want to get rid of all these qualities, all these bad qualities, kam, krodh, lobh, moha. But they don't know that kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsari, they're all very good. Actually, these are all very good. Karma, desire for Krishna, is very good. Karma, Krishna karma pane, one should have a desire to serve Krishna.
Karma, Krishna kirti padathadarkana aasai oruthukitta irundhadna adu virumbathakkadhu, adu migavum vedathakkadhu.
And anger is very good. Krodha bhakta dveshi jana, it's very good to be angry at those who are demons, envious of Krishna and his devotees.
Kobham abringaradhu virumbathakka oru gunam da, yaar irukku Krishna bhaktargal mela
Far better than a sadhu sitting on a rock quietly meditating is Prabhupada shouting, "You're all fools and rascals." Far better than this sadhu sitting doing nothing on a rock, enviously forgetting Krishna, is the monkeys throwing rocks at Ravana's army. So this anger is worshipable. Then lobha, greed, that's also very good. What is that? Loba bhakta sange harikatha, something like that. One should be greedy to hear about Krishna in the association of devotees. And if one is bewildered by love for Krishna, that's very good. If one is intoxicated by love for Krishna, that's very good. And although there's no actual envy in Krishna consciousness, if one is fiercely committed against all the rascals who are envious of Krishna, then that is very good. In fact, if one is not against all these rascals who claim themselves to be God, then he cannot be a devotee of Krishna. If you love someone and someone else is trying to kill that person, and you say, and you make friends with that person, say, well, actually he's very nice, got a lot of good qualities, then what is that? How can you say you love a person when someone else is trying to kill them? A mother, so you know, someone's trying to kill her child, and the person comes to the door and said, well, you know, we should be nice to everyone. So, yes, please come inside. So the Mayavadis, they want to kill Krishna. They say, he has no form, he has no legs, hands, eyes, he can't speak, therefore Bhagavad Gita is all useless. What happened? Can't speak. They want to make him a non-entity. So many devotees, they speak of, you know, love of Krishna as if it's just like, you know, something you can put a coin in a machine and pull it out. I don't think they have those vending machines. They have them in the West where you put the money in and you pull out and you get a packet of cigarettes or something, like, as if Krishna is so easy to attain. But if one is very much committed against the Mayavadi demons, that is very pleasing to Krishna. If one wants to make a compromise with them, what does that mean? It means he's a secret agent. He's a very dangerous person. He's a spy in your camp. At least this we learned from Srila Prabhupada, that we should have a healthy dislike, not dislike, stronger than that, healthy aversion towards those who want to kill Krishna by declaring him formless, nameless, pastimeless, associateless, etc.
பிரபுபாதர் நமக்கு என்ன சொல்லி கொடுத்தார் அப்படின்னா, யார் ஒருத்தன கிருஷ்ணர் வந்து ரூபம் இல்லாதவர், சகாக்கள் இல்லாதவர், பேச்சு இல்லாதவர் அப்படின்னு சொல்லி கிருஷ்ணரை நிராகரிக்கிறாங்களோ அத்தகைய நபர்களுக்கு எதிராக நாம வந்து திடமான எண்ணத்தோட கொண்டு இருக்கணும் அப்படிங்கறது ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாதர் நம்ம தெரிந்து கொள்கிறோம்.
They present themselves as being free from ego. Because they don't criticize anyone. But indirectly they're criticizing Krishna because Krishna criticizes rascals like them. And therefore the real way to be egoless is to submit our ego to Krishna.
அதனால உண்மையா நம்மளுடைய அகங்காரத்தை ஒழிக்கிறதுக்கு நம்மளுடைய அகங்காரத்தை நம்ம கிருஷ்ணர்கிட்ட ஒப்படைக்கணும். அதுதான்,
we don't think ourselves so advanced that we've risen above everything including Krishna.
நாம வந்து நம்மளை எப்பொழுதும் ரொம்ப பெரியவங்களா நம்ம கிருஷ்ணருடைய கருத்தை காட்டிலும் கிருஷ்ணருடைய அறிவை காட்டிலும் நான் ரொம்ப அறிவாளி நம்ம என்னைக்குமே நினைச்சுக்கிறது கிடையாது.
We are simply the servants of Krishna.
நம்ம கிருஷ்ணருடைய சேவகர்களுடைய சேவகர்கள்.
If Krishna says the Namang Dushkritino Murha, people who do not surrender to me are fools, and we simply repeat that.
Krishna solra Namang Dushkritino Murha, engitta saranadayadargal muttalgal adine nama veruma adu appadi thirupi solrom avlodhan.
And even if the Mayavadis think that we are very egoistic, we don't care, we're going to serve Krishna.
மாயாவாதிகள் நம்மள வந்து இவங்கெல்லாம் அகங்காரம் படைச்சவங்க அப்படின்னு நினைச்சாங்கன்னா அதை கூட நம்ம கருத்து கண்டுக்கிறது கிடையாது. நம்ம கிருஷ்ணருக்கு சேவை பண்றது நமக்கு முக்கியம்.
We're not going to sit on the opposite shore of Lanka and do meditation while Ram is fighting on the other side to smash Ravana.
ராவணனை அழிக்கிறதுக்காக ராமர் ஒரு பக்கம் இருந்து சண்டை போட்டுக் கொண்டிருக்க நம்ம மறுபக்கத்துல இருந்து அமைதியா தியானம் பண்ணி இருக்க போறது கிடையாது.
So what Arjuna wanted to do, he wanted to leave the fight.
அர்ஜுனன் வந்து போர்க்களத்தை விட்டு வெளியே போகணும்னு விரும்பினான்.
But Krishna, he said, I want to stay.
ஆனா கிருஷ்ணர் சொன்னார், நான் இங்கதான் இருக்கணும்னு விரும்புறேன்.
So Arjuna didn't say, okay, you stay and I'll just go off and do meditation somewhere.
அர்ஜுனன் சொல்லல, நீங்க இருக்கணும்னா நீங்க இங்க இருங்க, நான் வெளியில போய் நான் எங்கேயாவது ஒரு இடத்துல தியானம் பண்றேன் அப்படின்னு சொல்லி சொல்லல.
Arjuna has to stay with Krishna.
அர்ஜுனன் கிருஷ்ணரோட இருக்க வேண்டியதாயிட்டான்.
So like that, when Ram is in the attacking Lanka, then we should join the monkeys and pick up some rocks and go and throw rocks too.
அதனால நம்ம வந்து ராமர் எப்ப லங்கையை தாக்குறாரோ அப்ப நம்மளும் அந்த குரங்குகளோட சேர்ந்து அங்க இருக்கக்கூடிய பாறைகளை தூக்கி நம்மளும் லங்கை வாசிகள் மேல வீசி எறியணும்.
We want to see Ravana beaten and smashed.
ராவணன் அடிக்கப்பட்டு ஒழிக்கப்படுவதை நாம் காண வேண்டும்.
We want to see his head cut off.
அவனுடைய தலை துண்டிக்கப்படுவதை நாம் காண விரும்புகிறோம்.
And cut off and cut off and cut off and cut off. He's got 10 heads, right? So
you have to count
10. He only got 5 so far. And cut off and cut off and cut off and cut off and cut off. They're all gone, he's dead. We want to see his body lying on the battlefield covered in blood, lifeless. This is bhakti.
அவனுடைய உடலானது வீழ்ந்து கடந்து ரத்தத்தினால போடப்பட்டு கிடக்கணும். அதை பார்க்கறதுக்கு நாம் விரும்புறோம். அதுதான் பக்தி.
And when it was all over, Ram ordered Vibhishana, now you do his funeral ceremony for his benefit.
அப்படி எல்லாம் முடிஞ்சதுக்கு அப்புறம் ராமர் வந்து விபீஷணன் கட்டளையிட்டார், இப்ப நீ வந்து அவருக்கு இறுதி சடங்குகளை செய்ய, அது அவருடைய கருணை.
Ram didn't intrinsically hate Ravana because he is Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He is the best friend of all living beings, including even Ravana. But Ram expressed his great love for Ravana by attacking him and killing him.
ராமர் ராவணனுக்கு மேல தனக்கு இருக்கக்கூடிய பெரும் அன்பை எப்படி வெளிப்படுத்தினார் அப்படின்னா, அந்த ராவணனை தாக்கி அவனை கொன்றதன் மூலமாக.
That was the best thing for Ravana. There's no other way to benefit him.
ராவணனுக்கு நன்மை செய்யறதுக்கு அதுதான் மிகச்சிறந்த வழிமுறை. அதை காட்டிலும் ராவணனுக்கு வேற எந்த விதத்திலையுமே நல்லது செய்ய முடியாது.
So the Mayavadis, they cannot have any benefit simply by indulging them and saying they're very nice. That's what they want people to think. That boosts their egoism. By they're trying to make a show of being egoless, but there's so much ego. Therefore, devotional service means to be prepared to perform any service for Krishna. So, the devotee simply does what Krishna says. The Mayavadis, they may look down, oh, these devotees, they're just, you know, they're just, what are they doing? They're still on the platform of desire. The Mayavadis see them as such. The Mayavadis cannot understand how the desire to serve Krishna is far more exalted than their desire to become free from desire, which is impossible. So, desire to serve Krishna. That is the actual path of spiritual life. That is the favorable wind, that is what is directed in Shastra, the favorable instruction that will guide our boat over the ocean of material existence. But even if you have a good boat, the human form of life, and you have good winds in the form of instructions of Shastra given by Krishna, you still need a good captain. A good captain knows how to set the sails to take advantage of the wind. If the captain doesn't actually know what he's doing, then he may set the sails so that he catches the wind, but it blows you in the wrong direction, or it blows you so fast or at an angle so that the boat goes actually into the water and collapses. To sail a boat, it's a great science. You have to know what you're doing, otherwise it's very dangerous. Even if you have an excellent ship with excellent sails, but if you don't know how to set them properly, then you're in great danger. And if the captain gives you wrong instructions, he's not actually qualified as a captain, then you're in great danger. So the captain of the ship has to know the science of the weather and how to adjust the boat according to the wind and the tide, and so many considerations are there.
யாரொருத்தர் படக ஓட்டக்கூடிய மாலுமியோ அவர் வந்து ரொம்ப நிபுணராக இருக்க வேண்டும். அவர் வந்து எப்படிப்பட்ட காற்று வீசுது, எந்த பக்கம் போகணும், அதன் அலைகளை கடல் அலைகள் எப்படி இருக்கு, அதெல்லாம் பார்த்து ஓட்டக்கூடிய திறன் வாய்ந்தவராக இருத்தல் மிகவும் அவசியம்.
There are so many considerations that you don't go in the iceberg area.
எங்க பனி கட்டி மழை இருக்கோ அந்த பக்கம் போகக்கூடாது.
Don't go in the doldrums. I'll explain what the doldrums are.
Doldrum எங்க இருக்கோ அந்த பக்கம் போகக்கூடாது.
The doldrums is an area in the South Atlantic where there's no wind, and if you enter that, you're finished. Generally no wind, so you go and then you're just stuck in the middle of nowhere.
Doldrums அப்படிங்கற பகுதி என்னன்னா தென் அண்டார்டிகால இருக்கக்கூடிய ஒரு பகுதி. அங்க வந்து காற்று அப்படிங்கறதே கிடையாது. அங்க போயிட்டீங்க அப்படின்னா காத்தே கிடையாது, நீங்க ஒகீல ஓட்ட முடியாது.
Even when you're coming into port, you may have sailed over the whole ocean. But when you're coming into port, there's a whole other science of how to actually come in and dock the ship.
நீங்க கடலை கடந்து மறு கரைக்கு வந்துட்டீங்கன்னா கூட அந்த துறைமுகத்தை நீங்க அடைஞ்சதுக்கு அப்புறம் அந்த படகை எப்படி பக்குவமா அங்க வந்து கரைகளை நிறுத்தணும் அப்படிங்கறதுக்கும் பல வழிகாட்டுதல் இருக்கு.
You need some special guidance at that stage. Now, they have tugboats.
படக வந்து அந்த துறைமுகத்துல வந்து நிறுத்தும் போது அதற்கென்று சில குறிப்பிட்ட வழிகாட்டுதல்கள் இருக்கு.
Just like driving a car, driving on the highway is one thing and parking is a whole other aspect, which you may be expert at driving, but you have to know how to park the car also.
நீங்க எப்படி கார் ஓட்டுறீங்க அப்படின்னா அது வந்து நெடுஞ்சாலையில ஓட்டிட்டு போறது அப்படிங்கறது ஒரு பக்கம், அந்த காரை கொண்டு வந்து அது நிறுத்தக்கூடிய இடத்துல முறையா நிறுத்துறதுங்கிறது இன்னொரு பக்கம். நெடுஞ்சாலையில ஓட்டிட்டு போயிடலாம், அது மட்டும் பத்தாது, அந்த காரை முறையா நிறுத்த வேண்டிய இடத்துல நிறுத்தவும் தெரிஞ்சிருக்கணும்.
So if the captain doesn't know what he's doing, then you're in a lot of trouble.
அந்த மாலுமிக்கு என்ன பண்ணணும் அப்படிங்கறது தெரியலன்னா அப்போ நீங்க பெரிய சிக்கல்ல இருக்கீங்க.
If the captain says, well, you know, just let the crew tie the sails as they like. Or let's do it according to some artistic design. You see, we're always tying it in this way. There are all these standard designs. Let's try something new. You just tie it anyway. I mean, you have to tie the sails, so, you know, just let everyone tie it the way they like. Everyone should just tie the sail whatever way they like and don't criticize anyone because everyone can do whatever they like. So I'm tying it like this, and if you want you can tie it like that, and anyone can tie it any way they like, and everyone's got their own path. And it's all wonderful. So I may say, well, this is a very liberal-minded captain. But he's a rascal. He's taking the position of a captain of a ship. But he's not applying the science which is required. If you say that, well, all the paths are the same, it's nonsense. There's a particular science of how to cross the ocean.
எல்லா பாதைகளும் ஒரே வழியை தான் கொண்டு செல்லும் சொன்னா அது அபத்தமானது. ஏன்னா அந்த அக்கறை கொண்டு போறதுக்குன்னு ஒரு குறிப்பிட்ட விஞ்ஞானம் இருக்கு.
So we don't say all the paths are the same. Everyone has their own individual path. My path is this and your path is that, and we don't criticize anyone. But Krishna criticizes those who take to the wrong path, which is that which is not pure devotional service to Him, which does not take us across the ocean of material existence. So our lack of egoism is that we accept Krishna as being correct. We don't accept that everyone is correct except Krishna. Or maybe Krishna is also correct and then everyone... Krishna gives one path and you just choose your own path as you like. So if actually one is going to be a devotee of Krishna, then he must be very much against the Mayavadis. There's no way around it. We may respect them for being spiritually minded, some of them. But we cannot say that their impersonalism is anywhere near as good or correct as the actual path of surrender to Krishna given by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So you may think, well, this is all very negative. Why don't we talk something more positive? Well, unless we get rid of these misconceptions, there's no question of entering into the positive. Unless we clearly recognize the difference between Mayavad, Bhogavad, or the idea of enjoying the material world, and pure devotional service to Krishna, then we can never actually enter into pure devotional service to Krishna.
Mayavadam, Bhogavadam, Bhogavadam appadina nammaludaiya kulangal anubavikkakoodiya ennangal athage mayavadam bhogavadathukkum krishnalukkana thooya bhakti thondukkum idaiyana vidhyasathai nam purindukollavillai appadina thooya bhakti thondukkullar nulaiyadhu appadingiradhu saathiyame illai.
Whereas, do you have First Canto Part 1 there? Srila Prabhupada expresses it very nicely. First Canto Part 1, negation of the non-essential does not mean negation of the positive, something like that. Where is that? Srila Prabhupada expresses it very... how shall we say? What's the word? Eruditely or... No, it's not the verse. No, I can't. If we had the Veda base, you could look it up. Negation? Oh, yeah, here it is. Negation does not mean negation of the positive.
Srila Prabhupada sura, edirmarayana kiyama, edirthirukro abdina, adu vandu nalladukku edirthirukradu abdingaradhu kedaiyadhu.
Negation of the non-essentials does not mean negation of the essential. Similarly, detachment from material forms does not mean nullifying the positive form. So, there's so much. Every line of Prabhupada's books is... you can do a PhD thesis on it if you like. Your PhD, the PhD thesis is our life. Our life should be based on this instruction. Okay, I'll finish now. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Any more candidates for heavy dose of mercy? Devotees come and ask for, we want your mercy, we want your blessings. Okay, take the mercy and blessings. I'm prepared to give anyone who wants lots of mercy and lots of blessings. 18 volumes, big volumes. Whoever wants can come and get it. Anyone who doesn't have Bhagavatam in their home, your home is a fit place for residence for snakes. Simply envious creatures. Where there's no Bhagavatam, there must be simply envy. So, to get the mercy, you can contact Narottam over here. He's handing out the mercy on my behalf, on Prabhupada's behalf. Also available in Telugu, English, Tamil, Telugu. We have Bhagavatam here in Telugu, so I'm told. And Hindi also? Okay, whatever language. Kannada also. Whatever language is good for you, take a set.
Tamil, English, Kannada, Telugu, Hindi, aage moligalla kidaigide.
Another thing, when you all leave here and go on your long journey back to wherever your place of residence is,
neenga inge irundhu indha mugam mudindhu neenga enga vaalreengalo andha edathukku pogura bodhu,
if you're going on a journey that entails traveling by train, especially if you're traveling by train, take some of Prabhupada's books and distribute them on the train. We have books here, you can take them. Spread the mercy. Yeah, Jai, one more set going out. How many is that now? How many sets in this camp?
How many sets so far in this camp? Including this is 19.
This is the number 19.
இது 19வது செட் இப்ப கையில காப்பி 20வது செட்
நம்பர் 19 மாதவேந்திர
20
புரி தாஸ் நம்பர் 20 and counting. Number 20 is 21. How many did we do in Baruch? We did 21 in Baruch.
So Baruch ni 21 panna. Ipa iske idvarku 21 a iruke.
No, no, this is looks like Gita. Is it? Taking Gita. What does that mean? You're not taking a set?
Yes, she is taking sex, so that is 21st.
This is a Gita, Bhagavad Gita. Unmai Uravil. Hare Krishna.
10 o'clock we start with Kirtan, 11 to 12 two lectures. 12 o'clock is it okay?
Yeah, whenever you call me, just give me 5-10 minutes advance notice. Also, we have copies here of Sri Namamrita, a compilation in English of Srila Prabhupada's writings about the holy name. Yeah. Well, I guess you don't need to translate it, because if you can't understand this, well, some people might take it for their friends, family, neighbors. So often devotees ask how to improve their chanting. If you read a little bit from this book, Srinamamrita, every day, this will help you improve your chanting. So we brought 40 copies and we have about 8, something like that, left. So if you don't have one, rush. Srila Prabhupada said book distribution is the guru's business. So I don't have much idea about being a guru, but at least I can ask you to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. So what time is prasadam for everyone? No. Yeah, so everyone please go and take prasad, except those who are to take initiation now, who should fast until midday.